Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for being here today. Today we're going to ask and answer the question, what if? But before we get into that, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am the husband to Jen Marion of 32... Wait a minute, where are you laughing at? I had hair. She's known me for almost 40 years. That was taken a while ago. This is our family. Our family comprises of our daughter Jessa, Georgia, our newest daughter, which is Justice, who's married to Coleman for almost 6 years, our son. And then we have two grandchildren, Alden and Hollis. And finally, I'm up here, as you heard, I'm an elder, and I'm humbled to be called an elder, and serve alongside some great men and brothers in Christ and their spouses who are an integral part of helping us lead. And our passion for Jen and I is marriage. Little did I know how passionate I was. Almost 12 years ago when we first sat down with Ronnie and Chrissy and they asked us to help start a marriage ministry. And since then, Jen and I have been blessed to see some amazing works of God as we've sat with couples who have been willing to allow God to transform their marriage to something that they never knew was possible, but He always did. And however, our passion was born out of, it was a pivotal circumstance. About 10 years and being married, some people we dearly love got divorced. And we thought, they got divorced. What's going to keep us from getting divorced? And, our world was rocked. And we realized at that point that we just couldn't continue drifting along. We had to do something about it. Now, it didn't change overnight. With hard work, lots of years, lots of messing up, I can honestly say, 32 years later, I love Jen more than I did the first day, and I love her each day more and more. Now, when we meet with couples, we will tell them, we're not professionals. We are not. We have messed it up a lot, and we are working hard to try to do it well, and we choose trying to do it well. Now, today we're going to talk about this question, what if? Do you ever play that game? What if this happened? What if that happened? Well, what if in 2010 I invested in this weird thing called Bitcoin? And I only put $100 into Bitcoin. Today, it'd be $83 million. Actually, it's over $100 million if you're following the market. Now, what if I were to take some time and invest and actually read only 10 pages a day? Well, within a year, I would have read 15 books. Not bad, right? What if this guy who had married his childhood sweetheart, not childhood. Well, I was a kid, I was 17, had hair. yeah. You know, that pause was on purpose, just to make you think about it, then see it. Well, some say I look like this guy in the hair, Kevin Sorbo from 1995 and Hercules. I don't know that I care to go there. But seriously, what if I took a risk? Or what if I intentionally prioritized my time for something that would yield a great benefit to me? Or what if I chose to follow God's design for my life and stop trying to control it myself? Now, there's a saying that if we make time for what is important to us, and if we truly took time to learn how to love our spouses well and prioritize them, what would that look like? Now, today we're going to be challenged to ask that question, what if I truly followed God's design for marriage? Something you should know, about 62% of everybody sitting here in the first service are married. So the big idea is that if you're currently married, perhaps you're remarried, or for the younger crowd, eventually one day we'll be married. I want you to know this. You can have a marriage that is life-given, long-lasting, and purpose-driven. Now, let me say something. If you're here for the first time and you don't know who this Jesus is, you're just really trying to figure this out, please, 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 don't tune out and turn off. I am confident that you'll go home today knowing a little more about who this Jesus is, and I'm also confident if you choose to apply what we talk about today, it will make your marriage, actually every relationship, better. Now, for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus and asked him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our lives, what we're about to discuss is not just a suggestion. This is what's called spiritual instruction that we should, with every fabric of our broken and sin-prone selves, should strive to follow every single day. Your marriage is the most important relationship on this earth. And if we call ourselves followers of Christ, we, to be a follower, must make him our leader with the most important relationship that we have. Now, not only for how it impacts our relationship with Jesus and how it impacts our relationship with our spouse, but also how we impact and experience God's power and presence within our marriages. When we follow Jesus as the leader of our lives in our marriage, we receive his blessings. Now, for that spiritual instruction, we're going to get into what's called the book of Ephesians, which is in the New Testament. But before I get into that, let me just give you a little context of what we're going to talk about. First off, it was written by an author who was originally known as Saul and was later called Paul after he met Jesus on what's called the Damascus Road. You can read about that in the Word. He went from a murderer of Christ's followers to the mouthpiece of Christ to first the Jews and then the Gentiles, which are us. He started this church in Ephesus, Ephesians, about 10 years earlier, so he's writing to them. They're still young Christians. And there's two key themes. The first half of it is called the gospel story. He's really talking about really how throughout Scripture, God's plan was always to wipe away our sins, not because what we would do, but what Jesus did for us. Now, the second half of it is dealing with our story. You know, how we're called to live as Christ followers in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, with a focus on unity, peace, and love. Now, while we won't go through the entire book, I encourage you, take some time to research this letter, because for me, personally, it's been one of the most impactful letters in Scripture, And really, why so? Because it's very practical. I'm a simple man, and I just need to know, what do I need to do? How do I do this? And Paul, throughout the scriptures, very clear. So today, however, we're going to focus on the our story part, and more specifically, the relationship in marriage. Now, before we get into what Paul says to husbands and wives, we got to go a little further up in scripture in chapter 4 and look at his instruction for all followers, for all relationships, including those who are married. Let's dig into this. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow, or another way to say that is sadness, to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. He goes on to say, get rid of all, not a little, all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. Now, communication's always been hard. Just like us, just like them, back thousands of years ago, if we're not intentionally following Jesus, our old sinful ways, my old ways, creep back. In times when I'm tired, when I'm hungry, when I'm stressed, I get triggered. For the first 10 so years of Jen and I's marriage, we were busy with life. You know, sound familiar? Kids, finances, work, church. It was a tremendous amount of stress in our lives. And at times, we were simmering pots, you know, just about ready to boil over into an argument. And as we look back on those times, we realize those arguments we have, we don't remember what they were. And they weren't about whatever it is we were talking about. It was more about the unspoken misunderstandings or the hurts that I had put on her unknowingly, the neglect, perhaps I wasn't spending time with Jen. That was at the heart of our issues. And we didn't know how to communicate well. We certainly didn't do it how Paul's instructing us, to be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And it took us believing and intentionally agreeing that we were on the same team, which that led us to not stopping fights, but changing the way we argue, going from trying to win to trying to understand the other's position and feelings. You know, over the years, Jen and I have met with many couples, some who are just struggling a little bit, just need a little, hey, you know what? What can we do in this area? Not too big, all the way to couples who are, you know, the next step is divorce. And what's common with every single couple we meet with, what's actually still common in our marriage when we're struggling, is there's a breakdown or just a clear lack of communication. You know, certainly we're not effectively communicating. And that's was our case and, you know, can still be our case. You know, he's instructing us to get rid of a few things. He's saying get rid of our old ways, which includes foul language, and abusive language, words that, you know, yes, we'll talk about swear words and whatnot, choose different words. But deeper than that is words that have no positive value for the relationship. Why don't Paul say instead, get rid of those? And what's interesting is that good words said with the wrong intent, well, those are foul too. He tells us to stop holding on to bitterness. You know, past hurts you may have put each other through, only remembering the wrongs and rarely remembering the rights, feeling that they always do this or they never do that. It says, get rid of reacting, responding with rage and anger and harsh words. It's never okay to be demeaning to your spouse, your teammate, to make them feel lesser than. That's what rage and anger and harsh words do. It also says, do not accuse the fellow believer, which includes your spouse, falsely. Now, let me say this one a little differently and specific to marriage. When upset with your spouse, we should stop believing the narrative that we've built in our heads. That, you know what, if only they did this, man, we'd be so much better. If they'd stop doing that, our marriage would be great. Why not replace that with remembering what is true and good about them? And then lastly, Paul says, get rid of all, not a little, all evil behavior, which basically here is everything else that doesn't build each other up. Get rid of it all. And if we got rid of all those things and replaced them with some very simple instruction here, replace them with good words. That's a novel idea. How about replace them with helpful words or encouraging words? How about being tender-hearted to one another? And then he tells us, forgive one another. You know, finally, Paul tells us, you know, in forgiving one another, Ronnie hit on this a few weeks ago, last month actually, in the Your Marriage Can Thrive series. If you haven't seen that, I would highly recommend you just look it up and watch all 3 weeks. It's fantastic. But one of the key elements of a thriving marriage is to have two good forgivers. You know, there's not much more to say to that because there's a lot of opportunity for forgiveness. In fact, when Jen and I will meet with people from time to time, when first time we've met them, we'll say, I'm sorry. And they're like, what for? I'm like, well, we have a long relationship. At some point, I'm going to say something or maybe do something that's going to hurt your feelings. And my hope is that I don't do that intentionally. But if I do, I need you to approach me because I need to understand that and I'll need to ask for forgiveness. So forgiveness is key in all relationships. So for Paul, you know, he is showing us in these scriptures the elements of a good and healthy communication. But that's a great foundation, but it's not everything for meeting and achieving God's design for marriage. Let's continue. He goes on to say, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, this is both husband and wife are to submit to one another. When talking about God's design, the first thing is to submit out of reverence for, or you could say deep respect, deep love for Jesus because he's the leader of our lives. You know, submitting in today's world, in the context, let's face it, it can be viewed as weakness, perhaps a loss of control, giving up. I just give up or I'm forced to comply. You know, from a scriptural standpoint, submission is actually defined by yielding in love, putting my spouse's, Jen's interest above my own. It means sacrifice and being selfless. You know, this requires both of us, Jen and myself, to be vulnerable, which is scary. You know, to put, if we're both doing it, putting the other's needs above and wants and desires of my own, this allows us to take a big step towards God's design for marriage. Let's continue. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives must submit to your husbands in everything. Let me say something here. In my 50-something years, I've heard this scripture misused so many times to make the woman feel like she reports to her husband, or that she doesn't have a voice, or she's simply just to do what I say or do what the husband says. This is wrong, and this is no way to a life-giving, thriving marriage. I can guarantee that. When researching this scripture, I came across a fantastic quote from a pastor from the 18th century, Matthew Henry, and it says this: "The woman was made out of Adam's side. She was not made out of his head to rule over him, nor was she made out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal to him, under his arm to be protected by him, and near his heart to be loved." You know, our wives, our spouses are equal to us, and we men are to protect them and love them. In submitting to the husband, she is helping him become a man of God. Now, I just got to say, I know this is true. I know Jen loves me. She encourages me every day. For those of you who know my wife, she corrects me. She challenges me as needed. She speaks highly of me when I'm not in the room. That sounds so simple. But how many times have you heard somebody put down their spouse when they're not around? Now, let's take some time to talk about the man's side, right? For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave his life up for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. Instead, she will be found without, she'll be found holy and without fault. Man, that sounds like a big deal. And maybe you're struggling with Paul's choice of words and using the analogy of Christ and the church. Maybe, Paul, here, I know you're speaking plainly elsewhere. Just tell me what this means. Well, we need to know what this means if we're to love our spouses the way Christ loves the church. What did he do? First off, he simply loved the church. You know, love is not a feeling. You've heard that said. It's actually a verb. He did not, you know, today's context, he didn't love bomb, you know, the church and then go about just doing whatever he wanted, you know, false words, just throwing words out. No, he loved the church, us, all the way to the cross. You know, this isn't a warm, fuzzy feeling. It doesn't come and go based upon how the other's reacting or responding. Rather, it's daily visible in our words, in our behaviors, our deeds and actions towards the other. He gave his life up for the church. He chose our good over his own comfort, convenience, and right. Men, are we choosing our wife's needs, hopes, and well-being over our own preferences and pride? And finally, he simply led by going first. He didn't wait for us to get it right. He stepped in, present, patient, engaged, full of compassion, and full of grace. I gotta ask myself, am I leading with that kind of strength? Servant-hearted? Sacrificial? Consistent? First in humility? And first in love? Now, I want to clear something up. You know, Paul uses this example, Christ in the church. Let me say this. Paul's not saying we husbands are to be equal to Christ in our spouse's life. No. What Paul has given us is a model. He has, later on in Scripture, he says this. This is a profound mystery. It's a mystery. But I'm talking about Christ in the church. Now, does anyone like to make models? All right? This is one. It's for, I think, 8-year-olds, and I put this together with my 5-year-old grandson, Alden. And you know what? We needed instructions. This is small and simple. We needed instructions, kind of like what Paul's telling us, to put this model together. You know, this model lacks a lot of the detail of the thing it's modeled based upon. But you know what? You can look at it and see that it's a Formula One car, and man, it kind of looks like a McLaren for you F1 fans. But it's not the real thing. You know, what Paul has described is a mystery where our marriage is as quirky and as small compared to the real thing we are. It resembles Christ's love for the church, for us. You know, I mentioned earlier that Jen and I meet with couples. And there's a question we ask every couple when we first sit down with them. We'll ask them, who's a marriage in your life you would like to model? So often they look at each other, there's some silence, and they ultimately just respond in that silence. They don't know anybody in their lives that has a marriage they want to follow. We believe that if we chose to follow God's design for marriage, when they look at our marriages, they would see Jesus. And more people would have an answer to that question. I've covered a lot. Paul's hit on a lot. So what do we do about it? So women, now, I'm going to say that I consulted Jen in writing this list. In fact, she wrote this list. So if you're going to send emails, you got to copy her on those emails as well. Okay? Just please. So, women, what if you let him lead spiritually, even if it's not your way? What if you encourage growth instead of criticizing it? What if you forgave quickly and fully? What if you prayed daily and boldly for your husband? What if you stopped playing Holy Spirit in his life and started encouraging his walk with Christ? What if you showed respect, even, actually especially, when he doesn't deserve it? Now, guys, don't you be sitting there saying, yeah, you listening? Because our list is coming, and I'm just going to give you a little heads up. It's longer. All right? Men, what if we loved our wives like it truly mattered every day? What if we looked her in the eye in the morning and said, what do you need today? And we actually did it. What if we woke up in the morning, having our cup of coffee, said, "How can I pray for you?" And we kept praying for her all day long. You know, what if we made kindness our default, even when we're stressed or she's silent? What if we prioritize time with her over our jobs, our hobbies, our sports, which includes our kids' sports, sorry guys, and our phones? This one really hits home for me. What if I stopped fixing and started listening with a tender heart and not a toolbox? What if I spoke words that built her up in Christ when I know there's so much out there trying to tear her down? And what if I forgave her fully and quickly without keeping score? What if I loved her most when she deserved it the least, like Jesus loves me? What if I became her steady, her trustworthy, and dependable man, no matter what? And finally, what if we led in confession, in repentance, apology, and prayer? Listen, if you feel a stirring going on and you just want to run, you know, hey, maybe that's the Holy Spirit convicting you. No, let me change this. Encouraging you, pleading with you to go from what if to we will. Now, some of you, and I just know there's hurting marriages here. And you may be thinking, man, we've been this way for too long, and I feel like we're just too far gone. We should have done this 10, 5, 2 years ago. You know, I have a friend. There was a time many years ago, I was trying to make a pretty big decision, and I was just beating myself up. And I was saying, man, I should have done this 10 years ago. And he let me go on for a while. And then he stopped me. He said, "Scott, you know what? You're right. You should have done that 10 years ago. The next best time is now. Your marriage is never too gone for Jesus. And the next best time for you to commit to learn and follow his design is now." So there's a few next steps I would encourage all of us to do. This week, spend 15 to 30 minutes just reading what we didn't go through here, you know, chapters 4 through 5, and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, where are you, not where is she, missing the mark in communications? Where am I missing the mark? What do I need to stop doing and start doing? Pray about, how can I submit to my spouse? And then men, ask this question, challenge us in your tea life groups. In my Monday morning tea life group, we'll be asking, what is the next step we need to take to love our spouses the way Christ loved the church? Now, to help you with these next steps, I'd like to highlight just two resources. We're just about done here. Sorry for me going over a little bit late. I'm passionate about this. We've got a marriage weekend starting. It's only on Friday today. Today's the last day you can sign up. So, you know, while supplies last, so they speak, sign up. We've got three great speakers, pastor couples, that are going to take what we've talked about here and go a bit deeper in it, a lot deeper in it, over Friday and Saturday morning. And then secondly, if you want to connect with somebody on the marriage team or just try to understand what we've got resources for, text 555-55444. Gosh, got to figure that. There it is, right there. To marriage, to that number. And there you'll get resources. You'll find out about classes. And you know what? If you're struggling, you just didn't want to talk to somebody, scroll down. It says get help. Guess what? You hit that, you fill out a form, somebody's going to call you. They're going to reach out to you. Might be me going to coffee with you or Jen going to coffee with you if you're a woman. I don't do, you know, where, you know. And then one final thought. I'm going to end with this. As I mentioned earlier, Jen and I do meet with quite a few couples, and it's a great blessing. And you heard the question that we asked them. Who is their model that they want to emulate? What if the next couple we meet with, that couple responds with, your marriage is they want, the one they want to model? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for not leaving us here without instruction how to do it your way. You're a good and loving God, and you have provided it in Scripture for us. We need to go from what if to we will. So, Father, as we take the next steps, no matter where you are, whether you're struggling or where you think you're doing great, we all have opportunities to take our model, this quirky little thing that, you know, an 8-year-old can put together to look more and more like the real thing. So, Father, thank you for leading us today. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to help you stay informed about opportunities for you or your family to stay connected at Relevant. The best way to do that is by getting you on our email list. Just text the word connected to 55444 and we'll get you added to that list. Lastly, at Relevant, we believe that generosity generates transformation. If you feel led to support the work that God is doing in and through Relevant, there are multiple ways that you can give digitally. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.